Time for us to talk a little Boston sports and more as we welcome in our friend Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Hey, Nick.
Hello, Rich. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Congratulations on yet another Rhode Island Sportscaster of the Year award. You need a bigger mantle.
Thank you very much, Rich. It's always a thrill to get the call from Dave Gorin from the National Sports Media Association. Great guy. Massachusetts guy, so we relate on that level. And you know, it's a real treat. It's a real honor. It's a wonderful pat on the back. And, you know, I always say it's a great tribute to the work we do as a team at Channel 6 with my partner Ian Steele, who is best partner in the business. And so it's, you know, the ultimate honor, too, to get the respect from my colleagues. So thank you for that.
Oh, well done. Congratulations yet again. All right, let's talk Tom Brady up first. Does he really mean it this time?
I think so. I tend to think that emotion that came out of him in that video yesterday was genuine. You know, and it was interesting. It came out fairly quickly. You know, I know last year was the same exact time that he announced the first retirement, but I don't know. I felt like this time around and now hearing, you know, I think he told his dad about a week ago that he was planning on doing this. Like, it just, all the signs might have been there too, like kissing his parents coming off the field in Tampa after the loss to the Cowboys. Like, that was kind of like, all right, this sounds like it, you know, kind of looks like it might be it. A lot of times with Brady, you got to read the tea leaves. And so I think it's it. I think this is the time. He reached the goal. I mean, he got to 45 and he was playing football. So that's uber impressive.
Rich. Absolutely.
I think this is it.
I was going to ask if the last couple of years tarnish what he's accomplished, but there's the reality is he didn't play that badly the last couple of years. He just, especially this season, he didn't have a whole lot of weapons around him.
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line getting beat up really didn't help him. I think when he first walked into the situation in Tampa, it was tailor-made for him. And I think the defense was obviously playing at a high level. The offense was really clicking. There was a motivation there for Brady to really put it all together. They drafted an offensive lineman to sort of shore that up. And, you know, I think everything sort of aligned. And, you know, I think the last couple of years they've had some trouble. You know, a guy like Chris Godwin goes down with injury a couple times, hasn't been able to stay on the field. And, I don't know, there was frustration that got built up. And really, I always start with the lines in football. The offensive line, obviously, was really probably the major issue. And so, I mean, he could still help a team. That's the thing. I think that's why we're all speculating, oh, where does he go next? Because we all still believe he can play in the right situation and have success. And so, but you know what? Look, if he wants to go now, he leaves something on the table, he's given a lot to the game. And so I can't knock him for it.
Well, up next, it would appear he can take advantage of that 10-year, $375 million contract from Fox. Do you think he'll be good at that? Does he have what it takes to be an entertaining, insightful, and ultimately the type of analyst that can call it the way he sees it?
It's a really interesting question because, yeah, you just wonder which Brady you're going to get. Do you get the real competitive Brady, the guy that we saw in Foxborough for all those years? And maybe, you know, a lot of times with Brady, you got to get him fired up to get that real emotion out of him. And I don't know if the broadcast booth is the place where you get really fired up. Maybe he does just watching the game. I don't know, you know, because it could be the Brady that we hear with Jim Gray every week, which is with the kind of fake laugh and all that personality. It's like, yeah, that turns me off because I'm like, that's not the real Tom. You know, I want to hear the real Tom. And so I wonder, I hope we do, because if we do, I think he can bring a lot of insight. Who knows the game better than Tom freaking Brady, right? Like, the guy has been around for so long. So, and you know what, too, I'll say this. He's got some standard to live up to there with Fox, because I think Greg Olsen right now might be one of the best things going. He's been really, really good.
I said that a couple of weeks ago. For my money, he's the best analyst out there on NFL games, as Romo has apparently devolved into reading his old press clippings.
I don't know, Jim. That's basically what we get with him now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened. I thought Romo was really good the first couple of years, but yeah, he didn't seem to want to do the work. And I will say that about Brady, with his work ethic, if he decides this is something he wants to be the best at, then I could certainly see him putting in the time and working to do that. I just don't know if it will stoke those competitive fires in him.
It's a good point. Like I wonder how much, you know, prep work he'll put in, whatever, but he's got such a knowledge of the game. It's really, I'm interested to see how it plays out, and we're going to see it because he's got a big fat contract. So yeah, interested.
We're talking with Nick Coit here on Downtown. Well, as for Tom's old team, the Patriots, interesting offseason so far. Is Bill O'Brien the guy that can turn things around for Mac Jones in the offense?
Well, I think so. I feel good about it. I think at the very least, Rich, we have an offensive coordinator and an offensive coach here who is competent in the way that a modern offense is supposed to run. And I think that in itself and that alone is going to make the Patriots offense look better. Because this season, just in terms of, you know, one of the guys that I watch a lot now, because I think he does a really great job, is Dan Orlovsky on ESPN.
Mm.
And some of the videos he was putting out just about, like, wide receiver spacing and things like that in the Patriots offense, when he would point it out, I'm like, wow, this is way more of a mess than I thought it was. Like, it was just eye-popping, like, just to see how incompetent at times the Patriots offense looks. So to get a guy like O'Brien in there, instantly he knows what he's doing and he commands respect. And I think it's going to be refreshing for, you know, everybody on that offense, particularly Mac Jones, who, you know, according to all reports, it seems like he had three voices in his ear, which is why he was yelling and screaming on the field. Ah, everybody get out of my head. Ah, he's going to call plays, you know, so that'll help.
I don't know what happens to Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, but it does surprise me a little bit when we learn that coaching hirings were apparently governed by whether or not somebody's old team would actually pay their salary.
Yeah, and I think that's probably one of the things that was probably put on the table in the, you know, the talk that Kraft and Belichick had.
Mm.
And I don't know who might have brought it up, but somebody probably brought it up, and it was probably discussed, and it was probably said by one party or the other that, yeah, we can't do that if we want to put a good product on the field. We need to hire coaches, give them titles, pay them the right salaries, and have a normal coaching structure. And I think we're starting to sort of see that with the fact that this offseason they bring in Bill O'Brien. He's probably going to put together his own staff. And then on the defensive side, it sounds like, I don't know if he's going to get a title or not, we'll see, but it sounds like Jerod Mayo is being elevated as sort of the, you know, at the very least, he's getting a raise, but he may be sort of getting the peek behind the curtain with Coach Belichick and, you know, what he does.
Very impressive win for the Celtics last night as they whooped up on the Nets by 43 points. This seems to be, Nick, a team that when they decide that they want to turn it on, there's nobody in the league they can't beat.
Yeah, that was pretty good last night.
Yeah.
8 straight threes to open the game. I mean, you're any team, you're not going to do well against that. I'm not worried because I think this team has realized when they really need to be turned on, and that's April, May, June. And I think they know they can do it. And I think when you have a guy on the floor like Robert Williams, I think it changes things. Williams seemed to be, you know, lost in the 8 straight three-pointers last night. I thought Williams had an effect on the game early and looked healthy. And if that guy's healthy, you the sky is the limit. You can go as far as you want to go. And that sort of, you know, makes me think about, okay, well, if they need to add at the trade deadline, maybe that's where they try to get insurance is behind him. Maybe try to get a backup big of some sort. But it's funny, even then, you got to have Williams on the floor. So I think he's just so key, and I think a night like last night proves it.
How about the pride of Johnston, Rhode Island, Joe Mazzulla, who 6 months ago was an assistant coach that only the real basketball insiders knew? And now he's getting ready in a couple of weeks to coach Team Giannis in the All-Star game.
It was funny, Rich. During the finals, I did a sidebar piece on Joe Mazzulla, and I ended up asking Jason Tatum about him in a press conference. And like I said, this was before like game five, game six, something like that. So Mazzulla gets elevated to the interim coach, and all of a sudden I'm watching SportsCenter, I'm watching this show, I'm watching that. Hey, look, there's my voice on SportsCenter. This is funny. And it's like, wow, glad. Hey, you're welcome, everybody. I'm glad you glad you're using my soundbite from June. That's great. I think he's done a really solid job so far in terms of I think he realizes the personalities that he has on the team, and I think maybe at times, maybe to his detriment, he sort of lets his team play it out and figure things out on the floor, and I think that's a good thing to have that kind of trust. But at times, you know, maybe a timeout here or two, you know, might not be a bad thing. But you know, you appreciate it. He's a young coach. He relates well to the players. You can tell. He's the son of a longtime high school coach here in Rhode Island. His late dad Dan was a well-respected guy in the town of Johnston. So you know, this is a guy that grew up with a coach. He's been around it. His brother's actually a grad assistant for Archie Miller at URI now too. It runs in the family, and I think we're seeing just how much Joe was brought up in that sort of arena.
All right, Nick, look, I know you love sports, you love all sports, you cover them all brilliantly, but deep down inside, you're a baseball guy more than anything else. Truck day tomorrow. What is the Nick Coit level of optimism for the coming Red Sox season?
Woo! Yeah! I can't wait! I got the tent all ready to go! We're getting down to Fenway. We're going to set it up. Oh, yeah, but we're going to have a great day. The truck's leaving, and it's baseball season. Woo! I don't know if you figured that out through the phone, but that was very sarcastic.
Oh, I was buying into that. Nick's fired up.
Yeah, so fired up, Rich. I'll tell you, what a season we're about to embark on here with the Boston Red Sox. It's interesting. I think a lot of people were turned off by Xander Bogaerts being let go and walking out the door. But I think this team can sneaky have a decent pitching staff. Decent. I think they built up the bullpen fairly well. A lot of older arms. So, do they hold up? I think the starting rotation's okay. I don't love losing Eovaldi, but I think it's okay. I'm not going to lean on Chris Dale staying healthy the full year, but I don't know. They're okay. It's the lineup where I look at it and there's like question marks left and right. And so that's where if some of those questions get answered, okay, we'll see. But yeah, I'm not exactly camping out for the truck to leave tomorrow. But
we'll I'm with you. And I will say, I do, of all the moves they made, I like what they've done in the bullpen, number one. And number two, I like Justin Turner, who is a professional hitter and by all accounts a great clubhouse guy.
Yeah, I agree. And he's got his buddy Kike here who, I think has shown his personality a little bit more, knowing that the Red Sox sort of need a face. And it may be a guy like a Kike Hernandez who kind of shows off some of the personality of the team. So, like I said, they always leave me hanging, and leave me wanting to watch them. So I'll watch at some point, Rich. I'm trying to be fair about it, but how good they're going to be, how long I'll watch, we'll see.
Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. Nick, always great to catch up with you, my friend. Stay warm this weekend. I don't know if you're getting the bitter cold down there, but do your best. Don't stay outside unless you have to.
I'm going to look like, we've got our radio show at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. I'm going to look like the kid in Christmas Story, all bundled up, with his arms hanging out, because I'm gearing up for it, Rich. But you know what? My days in Maine trained me for it, so grow that thick skin again.
All right, keep your tongue away from that flagpole.
Will do.
All right, see you, Nick.
See you, Rich.
Nick Coit, ABC6 Providence, on the Boston sports scene with us here on Downtown.